I want God to use tonight, use the message. I'm gonna preach a series of messages, Lord willing, now, the next four Wednesdays on paradoxes. Christian paradoxes. Paradoxes in the Word of God. I preached a high school chapel today, and I didn't preach this, but I asked the high schoolers, do you know what a paradox is? And I was shocked. About 10 of them raised their hand. I said, what is it? And they knew it. Now, I'm not going to scare y'all tonight, but I'm just curious. If I was to ask you, do you know what a paradox is? How many of you would know what a paradox is? You don't have to raise your hand. But I'm going to explain it. And I thought about this, and I pray, though, God will use it, and we'll talk about it. But let's look in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. Chapter 12, I apologize, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to spend 4 weeks on great paradoxes that we find in the Word of God. And once we start reading here, and then I'll explain, and then I'm really excited about bringing this thought tonight, because I will say this, church, all of God's truth is life-changing. But this has been one truth that really has gripped my heart and life for the last few days. And I look back over my life, and if we grasp this truth, and we put this truth into our life, we practice this spiritual truth that we find in this paradox, it will change our life. It will change our world. And God would use it. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want you to notice the shift. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Here's the paradox. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You say, Pastor, what's a paradox? A paradox is a statement or a proposition that seems contradictive. It even seems absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. It can possibly be true, and it is true. The world cannot understand this paradox. And I want you to listen to me, church. I know the world doesn't understand through weakness comes strength. But the sad statement that I'm getting ready to make is just as true. I expect people that are not saved not to understand this paradox, but we are now living in a day where very few Christians know this paradox. Very few Christians have ever tapped into the power that is available to them. Because that power, this strength is only able to be gained by weakness. When I think about that and I think about everything that comes into our lives, we fight everything in our lives that God has put there. The world cannot understand it. Few Christians understand it. But if we view this paradox, and it's just simply this, strength through weakness. If we will view this paradox and we will grasp this truth, the possibility of living with strength through weakness, then it's not going to be what the world's telling you. It's not the philosophy that is being pumped down your throat and down your brain today. You're going to have to look at it through a spiritual discernment, and you're going to have to see it through spiritual lenses. Now, let me give you the backdrop because I want to deal with this paradox first, strength through weakness, quickly. What's the backdrop? Well, I thought this interesting. The Apostle Paul just talks about that he's been given visions. He is able, he has experienced things that other men possibly had not experienced. By the way, he, I believe, this exactly now as I've studied this, he was the man that he was speaking of about 14 years, whether out of the body or in the body. He said, I don't know, God knows, but he said he was lifted up into paradise. And he heard things uttered, and so I want you to understand the challenge that this gives. This truth, this vision, what he experienced by being able to see something that no other man has seen, gave a challenge in the fact that he very well could have been puffed up with pride, and he could have been puffed up and said, hey, I've arrived. I've seen something. I've experienced something that none of you have experienced. God must love me. And what he could have done is he could have banked all of his dependence upon his experience and who he was and what he knew. That God knew this. Paul didn't understand it on the front end, but because he was able to see these visions, he said, I've got to be careful. He said, because I want you to notice what he said. If such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but I want you to notice this. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for will I say the truth, but now I forbear. Notice verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. In other words, because of what I know, because of what I've experienced, there's a possibility, there's a challenge. I've got to deal with pride. I've got to deal with the temptation of being lifted up in pride and being self-dependent. Who do you think knows us better than anybody? So when the Bible says, I was given a thorn in the flesh, can I ask y'all a question? Who gave it to him? See, we all want to talk about, what's the thorn? What's the thorn? Doesn't matter what the thorn was. The question's not what, why. Why was it there? And who put it there? Y'all answer these questions. The greatest lover is who? God. Any of us doubt that he loves us? Do we doubt that he loved Paul? I don't doubt that. But the Bible's very clear. The Bible says, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Who put it there? That's a pretty important question to answer. Because if we understand that question, we understand that it was put there on purpose. It wasn't just a happenstance. So when I think about this passage of Scripture, I first want to look at the potential of pride in verse 7 and 8. All of us can struggle with the temptation of being lifted up. The Lord knew the potential for him getting full of himself, for him becoming holier than now. Because what is it? Oh, Pastor, I've experienced. Oh, let me tell you. Hey, God, listen now. I've done reached that plateau. I've done seen that vision. I got to see something these other folks didn't see. The potential of that's very, very prevalent today. And God knew it. And so we understand the temptation was there. He could have said, I have arrived. We can depend, I've noticed, more on our ability. We can depend more on our knowledge. We can depend more on our experiences than we do Him. You know what all of us do the longer we're saved? We become more self-dependent. That's a scary place to be, church. You've never arrived. I've never arrived. But we get there. There's some of you, you have more knowledge of the Word of God today. I have more knowledge of the Word of God today than I did 20 years ago. And so there's a temptation that I start relying more on what I've always done. Maybe I have a temptation relying upon my responsibility or even my position. I can say, oh, well, that's my job. Well, I can start putting more dependence on, hey, well, that's what I've done for 15, 20 years. And you see how the Christian life, many times we become self-dependent. And we get away from being dependent upon Him. So we see the temptation of being full of pride. We see the temptation of being self-dependent. We see the forgetting God, living without Him. But I want you to notice something. Not only was there a potential for pride and there was a temptation that we all had to struggle with, but I want you to know something. This is what stuck out to me. Look at the affliction. I want you to notice in verse number 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I've thought about this a lot. Who gave him the thorn? God did. I've been in Bible college. I have heard more people try to figure out what that thorn in the flesh. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't care. See, that's just how we are. We like to get off on that stuff and try to figure out what, and we miss the real thing, why. Doesn't matter what it was, but I'm going to tell you what. It was put there on purpose by a God that loved him. Now, wait just a second, Pastor. Why was that affliction there? I thought God loved me. He does. He loved Paul. But I'm sure no matter what Paul was dealing with, and obviously it could have been a physical infirmity, it caused him pain. I don't know about y'all, but when I go through adversity, I'm dealing with something in my body or physical or frustration. I want y'all to know I get frustrated. You know what we want? We want it gone. We want it to disappear. We want it to go away. So did Paul. You say, how do you know he wanted it to go away? Because he told us in there. He asked God 3 times. So how did God answer him? He said no. So you know what? Paul lived with it. This wasn't something temporary. This wasn't something that just went away. This is something that he had to live with. Now let's make this down to an application. As a parent, as a grandparent, do you know what my first instinct is with anyone that I love? Before they even ask, and they even know they have a thorn, do you know what most of us do? We are in front of our children and people we love, clearing all the trouble out of their life. We're trying to look in front of them and say, oh, and then if they hit a little rocky spot, we run in there as quickly as we can and we try to get rid of that bumpy spot. But wait a minute, that's not how God does it. He asked God 3 times. God could have removed it. Why didn't He? And here's the great lesson, church. Here's the great paradox. I've never known a Christian that has ever been used mightily of God till he's been broken first. Till he's become weak. And they've tapped into a strength that very few Christians will tap into. And that's strength through weakness. You know the ones that struggle with the most? Men. Because we're so dependent. We're so self-dependent. We're so arrogant in the fact that I'm not going to show any weakness. But God says you can't have this strength unless you become weak. So by nature, we're not going to choose that. Paul's not going to choose that. He didn't choose it. Y'all ready? God chose it. He gave him a thorn. And then he did not take it away. It amazes me how many times we as parents, the first time our children get in a little bit of rough spot, we're pulling thorns out that God has put there. I wonder why we live in such a weak society. I wonder why we have so many weak younger people growing up that can't even face small problems. I'm going to tell you why. Because their parents and grandparents and people that love them like we do, we try to take the thorn away that God says I put there. No. Because you know what that thorn does? Do you know what that thorn did for Paul? Brother Larry, it drove him to Christ. He didn't have anywhere else to go. There was nothing else that he could do to get peace, to get hope, to get purpose. He had to go to God. And you know what? It amazes me in this day. We are trying to get things out of people's lives that God put there. And then when the adversity, the trouble, the problem is there, all we do is whine about it. God put it there. Why? He doesn't want us to see the pain. He doesn't want us to see the thorn. He doesn't want us to see the adversity. He doesn't want us to see the storm. He doesn't want us to see the waves. You know what he wants us to see? He wants us to see him. 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 God, I need you. And you know what? We don't choose that. Let me say this, what else I've learned about this strength that you gain through weakness. I've never seen it. You will not understand it. You will never cultivate it in your life on the mountaintop. Never. It's never reached on the mountaintop. I'm going to tell you, when people really, truly get a power and they tap in where Jesus Christ is precious to them, where they're in the valley. The deep valley with no light around them. And you know what we're always trying to do? We're trying to pull the light. We're trying to give people light. Oh, I feel sorry for them. Oh, I feel sorry. And I know that sounds callous, church. But you know where God does His real work? In the valley. He does His real work in the valley. He doesn't do His greatest work on the mountaintop. He does His greatest work in the valley. In the valley, with the thorn, with the affliction. Who put the affliction there? Can I give you a little personal? I don't think my dad would mind it. He's had a stroke. It's changed his life. It's changed all of ours. If you had asked me that I would have chosen for it to have happened, look at me. No. I wish it wouldn't. You ask him. You ask him. I'll tell you what he'll tell you, because he's already told me. I'm glad it happened. I'm peace with it happening. Because in this infirmity, he's learned something that he would not have learned without it. I'm not going to go into all that great detail about it, but I know this: he has more of a rest in Christ than we've ever known. He'd have never known it unless there wouldn't have been a thorn put in his life. And by the way, God allowed it to happen. Now let's bring that down to your life. Let's bring that down to my life. There's a lot of things that's happened in our lives and we're missing it because we're like, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. And we're missing that God put the thorn there so you can tap into a strength that you would never know without it. God uses people like that. God uses people like that. And I'm wondering today why God's not being so prevalent today in people's lives. Because I'm going to be honest, I believe this paradox has not been understood by most Christians. You know what we do? We drama our problems. Everything's drama in the Christian. Oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. Oh, here, it's horrible. Oh, it's bad. Well, wait a minute. Paul thought that for a bit. Why? He asked three times. Here's what's amazing about this whole situation. Something shifted here. He asked three times. At first, this infirmity that he had, all he wanted was it to be gone. He felt the pain. He felt the hurt. He felt the frustration by it. But something changed. The Bible said because he could be highly exalting himself, he could have buffeted himself, or he could have laid himself up to glory in something. God said, hey, he gave me a thorn. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, wait a minute. Here's the same guy. And by the way, this don't happen overnight. Here's the same guy that just asked God, please, take this away, take this away. All he seen was the pain. All he seen was the hurt. All he seen was the adversity. All he seen was the storm. But something started to happen. He started getting another perspective. He quit looking at the storm. He quit looking at the thorn. He quit looking at the adversity. And he asked God for the victory. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient. So something changed. The beautiful thing that changed is, and here's what's amazing to me, glad he had it. He said, I gladly. What a strong Christian. I've not attained it yet, but I desire it. He said, I gladly. He said, I welcome it. Because he said, I've learned this, Brother Don. In my deepest, darkest valley, he has become so precious to me. I wonder why Jesus Christ is not so precious to people like he should. Because when we go through the dark valleys, we're missing this truth. I think about this passage. God put this storm because it was beneficial. By the way, anything in your life and in my life, whether we understand it or not, makes us go to Him is a benefit. Anything, whether I understand it, whether you understand it, you know, and we have two children. I've thought about this. I've tried to bring out some personal responsibility, personal experience. I was talking to Clay the other day, and I appreciate it. And, you know, him and Miss Ivy, they're new, they're young parents. I could imagine they probably, I don't know how much, but I don't know if they're like me, the magnitude of knowing that you're getting ready to raise and to guide two small children. The magnitude of that will overwhelm you. The responsibility that you have of being able to guide and lead and to raise a family. And I thought, boy, this is a passage of Scripture that every parent, all of us, need to ask God to help us with. Because here's what I've learned. God put that thorn there. And I thought, Miss Laura, how many times have we tried to take the thorn or get the thorn out of our children's lives that God has put there to make them draw closer to Him? I told Brother Ray this the other day, and I mean this. With every children worker here, I feel like we need to have... Look, I'm glad these children are coming, these teenagers are coming, but I'm going to tell y'all something. I want more for them than that. They can come here and never get help just by coming and still... Hey, listen, I want you to know something. They need some difficult situations in their life. They need some adversity in their life. There needs to be some people here that understand we're not taking all their problems away. We can help, we can soothe, we can comfort, but God might have put them there so it will drive them to Jesus. When I think about this, he said, I welcome it. Why? Because Brother Donnie tapped into something. I think about in the valleys is where he does his work. He did not remove the thorn. He did not remove the thorn. He did not. So it takes away that, well, you don't love me. Now, wait a minute. God loved him. So sometimes we have a warped sense of love in this. Well, I love him, Pastor. I love him. You know, I'm going to just make everything easier for him. Well, wait a minute. God didn't. He left the thorn there. Because he's going to teach him that there was strength that he would have found out with that thorn than if it would have been removed. He knows adversity and trouble drives us to him. And he said, I'm willing to welcome it. Think about it. His suffering had become a source of strength to him. That's amazing to me. But I get it. I look back over my life, Brother Don, and I realize the times when he done his real work in my life, when I had thorns there. I had reached the end of myself, and I was completely helpless and hopeless. That's why, you know, when I think about people's homes and marriages, when a couple gets helpless and hopeless and they know they can't do it anymore, they're on real good ground. Because what's getting ready to happen there? They're getting ready to tap into a power that they can't produce. But see, you know what we do? We fight it all the time. We're not going to be weak. Not for me. But God says the only way you can tap into this strength is if you're weak. So we think about this. It amazes me. I thought about this. I've had little moments of spiritual discernment in this way. I remember there were some things going on in my life years ago. I was going through a rough time. And, you know, my mom, there's nobody. I know my wife loves. I know my family loves. But, you know, when I was a child, I never doubted my mother's love for me. She loved me. She loves me today. But growing up, it hurts to see your children hurt, doesn't it? And what's our first instinct? We want to get that hurt. We want to take that away. It's hurting them. We want to make it better. So there was a time in my life that I had put myself in a place where God was dealing in my life. It was uncomfortable. It was painful. It was hurtful, and my mother seen it. So she kept coming to me and trying to take that out of my life. She kept trying to, like any mother would do, she'd come to me and say, oh, but, and she, here's what she was trying to do. She was trying to make excuses for me. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord did it because I looked at her one day, and I've never said it before and I've never said it since, but I looked at her and I was like, Mom, I said, you're going to stop. I said, you're going to quit making excuses for me. Let God have his work in my life. I know you're hurting for me, but I said, God's working my life. Let him have it. You're not helping me by trying to make it easier. Can I give you another example of this? The great New Hebrides Island Revival, we've talked about it a lot. Duncan Campbell, it went on for 3 years. There was a drunk, vile, wicked man there. There was people getting saved everywhere. This man was under conviction. He was at his home. The wife was a dear, godly saint. She had been praying for him for years. He had lived a wicked life. He was mean to her. He got under conviction. They called for Duncan Campbell. He went there, and like most preachers would do, what are we going to do? We're going to try to help. But when he got there, now y'all listen to me, church. This is godly. This is spiritual. I don't see a lot of this today. She stopped for that preacher, the wife. Been praying for him for years. She stopped him. She said, don't go in there. The man was weeping. He was wallowing all over the floor. He was crying. He was under such conviction. She stopped him. She said, no, don't go in there. Y'all ready? Because she loved him. This was tough. But she looked at that preacher. She said, let him waller in it. She said, let him take his fill of it. And she stopped the preacher. You tell me that ain't tough as a wife or a mom or a dad. That's why we don't do it very often. But that's where God does his work. Guess what happened? I'll give you three guesses about that man. He got saved. You know why? Because God had put a thorn, put him under conviction. Nobody tried to make excuses for it. Nobody tried to make him do okay. The Spirit of God worked in his heart. You know what we worry? We worry when somebody gets under conviction. You know, we try to make them feel better. Look, you ought not do that. Let God have their way. It's not going to be painless. It is painful. It's very painful when somebody is being dealt with by God Almighty. Let God have His way. Because God knows what He's doing. But as a dad, there's been times, hardest things we've ever had to do. And some people say, oh, you're callous, you're mean. Well, call us what you want. We failed a lot of times, but there's a few times that I'm glad. And even studying this message, Miss Laura, has helped me and encouraged me on some things. But I remember the night that Clay wrecked his car. We were here. Laura was up there. She got the same. And I was at home, but I started crying through the phone because Laura said, Mark, the hardest thing I had to do was watch him walk back into that dorm with his head hung down and he's crying. Because you know what Mom and Dad wanted to do? Take him home and say everything's going to be okay. You see, God wanted him to stay in the dorm when it started to snow. And there was something he had to deal with. And I remember well, I was able to talk to him a little bit that next day. And I said, son, I can't take this travel with you. You've got to go this road alone. But when you come through, God will go through. God was dealing in his heart. So do we want him to be happy now or do we want him to be right later? We pull so many thorns. Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's just not fair. I'm going to take care of that for them. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to make it easier here. You're not helping them. You're crippling them. You're crippling them. I see this happening in our society. And y'all talk to me now. How many strong young people do we see? Come on, y'all help me. How many, because look here, some of y'all's got, y'all as tough as a pine knot. How'd you get it? Well, you certainly didn't get it on the mountaintop. You certainly didn't get it because your parents did everything for you. You certainly didn't get it because your parents made phone calls for you and done everything for you. No, you got it because you learned you had to do it. Come on. So why isn't that the same in the spiritual life? But I'm going to tell you as a parent, it's hard. Clay and Ivy, it's hard. It's hard when you got big blue eyes looking at you and you just want her to be happy because you don't want her to be upset with you. And by the way, Papa don't want her upset with him either. So I'm glad y'all are the parents. But I'm going to back you up. I ain't going to spoil her. And here's what amazes me. Some people think I'm spoiling her because I'm holding her. Now listen, church, I'm going to hold my granddaughter. I knew you changed. I never told you I was going to treat her like the plague. But I ain't going to spoil her. God help me to be what I'm preaching tonight. There might come a time that little Corey, little Kay gets under conviction and it would be a shame if Papa went over there and said, oh, honey, it's going to be okay. Now I need to let God have His work. That's what I'm talking about. Being wise. Not pulling thorns. Let God have His way. Why? Because this affliction was given by God. Quickly. Y'all ready? The paradox. What is it? It's this simple. Strength and weakness. He had to come to a place that he realized his weakness actually provided strength. When we allow ourselves to be needy before the Lord, we can experience strength only the Lord provides. It's a hard principle to live. But it's worth it. As I thought about my grandpa, this time of year I always think about my grandpa's. George H.W. Bush, that passed away, what a hero. One of the last of the greatest generation, fought in World War II. We have very few of them left with us today. My grandfather, both of them fought in World War II. You know what his favorite song was? Didn't think much about it when I was a teenager, but I can remember going to church, and it was always church. I felt like it was always church. couple things was happening. I always walked into church, and I always knew that my grandpa was there for two reasons. Because when I walked in the building, the first thing I looked down the steps, and there was a step that went like this, and down there was a banister, and I always seen his big old black Bible there. But the other way I knew that he was there is because I always heard him singing this song downstairs when I walked in. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. I got it wrote down here. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. That's missing in most Christians' lives. I got to thinking about that. You know, my grandpa lived a pretty rough life. He was in World War II. God spared his life. He became a drunk. Wasn't a very good husband. Not really a very good man. But one day, his children was invited to church. They started going to church through that. My grandma started going to church. But nobody expected James to come. But one day, as the preacher got up to preach that morning, he just happened to look back. They'd been begging their dad to come to church for many times. Grandpa never would come. But I'll never forget it. The preacher told me at his funeral. I'd never heard it. But he told me at his funeral. He said, and Mark, as I got up to preach that morning, he said, I began to preach. And he said, I looked through that back door. And he said, I seen James Leslie walk through the door. And he said he went in, he sat down in that back seat in the very back row, and he said, I preached that morning. And he said, as soon as I gave the invitation, he came down the aisle and he got saved. And he told me years later, he said, Mark, you know why? That's one of my favorite songs. He said, because me being a war veteran fighting in World War II, he said, I've seen some awful things. He said, I've seen things that I would hope that no other man would see. But he says, now I realize why he spared my life. He said, I swam the Panama Canal one time, Mark. He said, crocodiles, dangerous. He said, it was a bad thing to do. He said, I look back and I see all of that, how God spared my life. And he said, you know what? I found out. He said, I never could give up the bottle. But he said, I finally found the one that gave me victory and gave me strength. So when I hear that song, I understand it more now. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. If you're weak, it's okay. Cling to him for strength. And you'll tap into something you'll never know unless you get there. My question for you tonight as we close, is he precious to you? If you're going through a storm, it's not about the storm. If you're going through adversity, it's not about the adversity. It's about him. What I can say to you is get to him and stay with him and hang on to him. As hunker down and hold on to him just as hard as you can. And I promise you, he will see you through it. And he will give you a strength you did not know was possible. Let's stand to our feet.